Our scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze.
I was driving up 71, the ramp onto 275. The roads were covered in slush and ice. And as I was coming up, I wasn't going too terribly fast. But as I merged into the highway, my car spun around at least three or four times until I was stopped in the slush facing oncoming traffic. And I paused there for a second, and I can see the lights of the big semi-trucks coming toward me. And more than the lights, I can see the slush and ice flying up like wings as these metal eagles are soaring at me. And I pause there and then immediately put it in reverse, spin my car back around, and drive east homeward. And the amazing thing about that story is that as I'm driving, the trucks come up alongside me as I'm heading east. So they're still there, and they're plodding along through the slush and ice as well, next to me, which is kind of terrifying. But slowly, one of them veers off onto the ramp on the Montgomery Road, and I just keep traveling forward. And I thought to myself, trials come in all shapes and sizes. It doesn't matter who you are, how much good you have done. The Bible confirms for us that we will face struggle. We will face sufferings, and bad things will happen sometimes on this earth. Sinclair Ferguson writes in his book, Deserted by God, which there's a question mark in the title. This doesn't, can't sound deserted by God. He writes that our mentality during suffering is directly related to how much scripture we have read, our proximity to the Bible, as he puts it. His point in this assertion is that our closeness to God in his word will help us understand God's purpose for us. And so despite the suffering and the challenges that we face, we still have instruction. And as you flip through the Bible, I'm sure you may come across somebody who had a problem, someone who suffered at some point in the text of the Bible. When we recognize the nearness of our God, we begin to understand trials differently. When I spun out in that slush that early morning, can you imagine if I had a passenger in my vehicle who told me, just floor it when you see the oncoming traffic? That would be ridiculous. And we can say that now, but when we face trials in our lives, sometimes there are people that come alongside us and tell us to just floor it. Sometimes those people are ourselves. We say, no, we're just going to gun it and we're just going to hope it works out. But the Bible teaches us that when we're facing suffering, the first place we should go is homeward. We need to turn and face our God. We need to turn and face homeward. And then those trucks that look like they were going to run us over, they'll still be there. They're going to come up alongside of us, and we're going to get those splash of ice and slush. But then you'll see they subside. They veer off and go off the ramp. And you're still headed straight away. You're still headed towards glory. That's the beauty of God's word. When we're facing Him, those trials become instructive. They become purposeful. They glorify God. That's what we're here to do, right? Glorify God. Our text today is a promise from the Lord. I will be with you in trials and sufferings. That is true. That is a fact. Praise God that that is a fact. We face challenges of all different kinds. And so I'm going to jump over verse 1, and let's look at verse 2 together. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep you over. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Friends, when you look at the Bible and you know some of these stories, I'm sure there are things jumping out at you. We're seeing suffering that comes from water and from fire. Can you think of a place in Scripture where people had to deal with water and God allowed them to pass through it? We look at the Red Sea, Israel. They're standing there on dry land as water cascades around them. Then we look to a figure who I love to see, Daniel. In his word, he talks about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Do you remember them passing through fire? They studied God's word beforehand, and it taught them that as they're put into a furnace, a fiery furnace, as Daniel eloquently calls it, who is there with them? But the word of God manifests. There is a figure standing with them. There were not three people in the flames. There were four. And as they walked out, they were unscathed. What does it say about the fabric? I'll let you look that up on your own. But the Bible teaches that there are things that will come against us. And it gives these two beautiful descriptions in Isaiah 43. And we know that Isaiah was a man who saw suffering in his people. And we know that Jeremiah was a man who saw suffering in his people. And these are prophets saying, very straightforwardly, God is with you. God is with you during this trial, during this suffering, during this sickness, during this loss. God is with you. And it doesn't matter how you got to that point. There's no work that you do that causes God to bless you. It is out of His faithfulness to you as His person, as His child, as His love, as a father to His child. And He says, I redeem you, and though you pass through the storm, I will be with you faithfully. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, does it matter the type of trial, or does it matter the faithfulness of God? If we trust that God is faithful, then we have to believe what He says about His faithfulness. And there are times in my life, and I know that there are times in yours, or there will be times in yours, that you will say to yourself, I don't know if I can believe that God would love someone like me. I don't know if I can believe that God would want to bring me up out of this trial, because I know when I come to Scripture that I am convicted of my sin. And if you're not, you need to find a new Bible. But you will be convicted of your sin, and you will say to yourself in despair, I don't know if God is here. And that's why Sinclair Ferguson wrote the book Deserted by God. It's because I am not sure, and I have to look at Scripture and see. God Himself is telling me, stop. Look at me and not at yourself. Don't look at the slush. Don't look at the trucks coming up against you. Look at me. If I told you that I will faithfully be with you at your side and bring you through this so that you can be glorified in my presence, I will do it. Praise be to God. I will bring you out of this for my glory. And there are texts in the Bible that we don't care to read sometimes. There are texts in Ezekiel that we may not enjoy reading sometimes. There are texts in 1 Peter that promise us of suffering. And if you remember the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus tells us, blessed are you who are persecuted. We will face trials. And it doesn't matter if they come from our own sin or if they come from a sickness that just sort of naturally happens, apparently. God has a purpose for the sorrow that we feel. He has a purpose for the struggles that we face. And if we do not believe that, then we do not believe that God can glorify Himself through those struggles, that He can reveal something about His nature and His attributes through them. The church is up against evil. And we need to look to the Scripture as to how to come against it. 1 Peter 4 says, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's a hard thing to read. Suffer according to God's will. Isn't that a bit challenging? Your response should be, I need to look at Scripture more and see about that. I need to understand that through the Word of God. But God will be glorified. That is what he says there. I am faithful, and so you will suffer, but I will be faithful. And this will be to my good, to my glory. It will reveal something about who I am to those around you and to yourself. When we look at the trials, then we look to God's purpose. Isaiah 42:8 says, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. This verse immediately makes me jump to, if you're familiar with that John Mark McMillan song, How He Loves Us. He is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am the tree bending beneath the weight of his mercy. That's straight out of the Psalms. As you start mulling it over, that thought. He's jealous for me to the extent that he will act. That's what his faithfulness does. He will act according to his promise. He will remove us from the place where we are in despair, from the idols, from the things that come up against us. He will not yield his glory to those things. If they're overcoming us, then they're overcoming a child of God. That cannot happen according to Scripture. So he says, that will not overcome you. You will pass through the waves, and they will not overcome you because you are mine, and I am in the act of redeeming you and bringing you to my presence. As I said, there are passages that cause us to kind of be perplexed. And one of those, I would imagine, is Ezekiel 36. But this is one of my favorite passages to read alongside Isaiah 43. It's one of my favorite passages to begin with. But Ezekiel 36:32 says, I want you to know that I am not doing this for your sake, declares the sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, people of Israel. And no, I'm not just going to tell you all that you're just bad sinners and that's it. But what this text says in Ezekiel, we have to pause and look at those words. He's saying, yes, be ashamed, but then I love the way the ESV translates, confounded, O Israel. That word in Hebrew is a nuanced word. What it's doing is reflecting on, yes, I am sinful, but look at the glory of God. I'm going to be confounded and amazed, utterly amazed, at his grace and mercy, at who he is. The nature of God is a compassionate father. And if I know that to be true, then when I am convicted of sin, what do I do? When I am facing suffering, what do I do? You need only go to the next verse in Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:33. If you want to look at that in your Bible, it says that he's going to cleanse all iniquity and bring you into Eden again, the new earth. He says, be ashamed of your sin, but then be confounded because I'm bringing you into my glory. You will have a new land full of rich pleasure and produce and new houses, a new place, a new position before your God. That is what is so important about looking at Isaiah 43:2. You're passing through to another place. You're passing through into the presence of God, into his glory. You know how frequently people suffered in the Bible? You can just kind of go over all of those names in your head. You know how frequently things made sense to them afterward. That's the glory of God, that I can look behind me and see the wonders of him. That's what the psalmists write about over and over again. I remember your works. I remember your hand was on this land. I remember the place that you have for me, the work that you have already done. You know how frequently we see people facing trials, even though they trust in the redeeming work of God. The disciples were in the boat, and the waters were flooding. At least it looked that way. The storm had arisen, and Jesus stands and says, stop! And under his authority, for the sake of his people, the water stopped, and they passed over. We need to think of those stories over and over again. That's why God gave them to us, so that we may mull over them and understand how he is positioning us, how he is drawing us closer to him, that despite the trials that we are facing, Maybe because of the trials that we are facing, we may come to a greater knowledge of Him and of His love for us. God's glory proves the love that He has for creation. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." We jumped over that first verse in 43. We're going to come back to it now. We see the trials. We need to understand how God brings glory out of those things that we face. There are times of trials and sufferings, yet God has a purpose. He has His glory. But what does that glory mean for us? The true promise comes in the fact that God is faithful. We have to have some definitions before we can comprehend suffering. One of those things is that God is faithful. That's the promise that we read in Isaiah. It's God's faithfulness. We can trust Him that what He says comes to pass, that what He promises, He delivers. If we have an understanding of God that He is simply vengeful and angry at us, we won't believe in His faithfulness. If we have a view of God that suffering can do nothing and that He's just rolling His dice up there, then we don't have an understanding of His faithfulness. We don't truly believe that He has promises for us, and that those promises come from a place of love and of mercy and compassion. Do you believe that God is compassionate for you? Do you believe that He will deliver in His faithfulness? If he says that He loves you and He does not act, what does that say of His love? It says that it fails. And we have a God who does not fail. Amen. If He is jealous for me, then His love may sometimes make me bend. But a bruised reed He will not break. That is a promise from Isaiah. If you are bruised here this morning, God is not going to break you. And if He does, He is breaking you into His love. He is breaking you with the compassion, causing you to stumble onto your knees and say, "Thank you for your mercy, because I can trust that I am not who I say I am. I am who you say I am. And you say that I am loved. And you say that I am forgiven. And you say that though I am in a hard place right now, I can turn homeward and see your glory for me." God's love is faithful. This brings us to that verse. "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine." So if we think logically, and God formed us for His glory, will He allow for those He loves to be destroyed? No. Will He show them His faithfulness? Yes. Can we believe and have assurance of His love for us? God has acted in history and He has redeemed us in history. We must believe that He has a good purpose for us, despite the circumstances that we may see. Whether or not our trials are a chastisement or for our perseverance in His faith. This is not the question. The question is more, does God have glory? Does He act according to His nature? How can I trust Him to be faithful? We need to read His Word. And we need to read His Word together. Are we reading God's Word? And are we reading it together? Because sometimes, it's amazing, but sometimes someone has faced a trial already, and they can talk to someone else who is facing it now. Sometimes you read something in Scripture and you say, "I don't know how that applies to me." And there's a person walking by who God says, "Why don't you talk to them about it?" That's the power of God's Word. We need to have other people in our passenger seats and our cars. We need to be going places together so that when we face that slush, we can turn to them and say, "I know that I can turn toward God." And they say, "Yes, you can." And they might have a passage for you. That's the beauty of reading God's Word. Are we in it daily? When we read God's Word and we come to problems of suffering, We need to recognize Romans 8, where Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Do we call him Lord? Because when we do, we're saying he is authority over all things. We're saying that we cannot be separated from him, that we do not lose heart, though our flesh may be wasting away, though our happiness may come and go. Our joy is complete in him. What is it Paul says in the holy divine word of God in 2 Corinthians 4? This light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And some may say that this is egoism, that I worship God simply so I can worship myself better. That is not the case when you read Ezekiel 36, is it? I'm ashamed of my sin. I'm convicted of my sin. And when we read back into the early revivals of American history, we see that two things happened. People were convicted of their sins, and then they recognized God's glory and compassion for them. And it moved them out of their seats, into the streets, into the Word of God. And we see the joy that takes place when we recognize that we are forgiven, that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We serve a sovereign, inexhaustible God. And so when we face trials, we know that he can handle them more than we can. And by his grace, he does handle them. And he who is faithful. Do you believe that the word of God is true? Do you believe that it does not fail? Then read it, my friends. We need to be reading our word and saturating our minds in it. Do we believe in the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost? Was the Spirit come and go as he pleases, or was it here to last? Was he here sustaining his church and sanctifying, teaching and convicting, blessing and persevering his people? Do you desire after the promise of his comfort and peace? Know your Savior. Know him deeply and intimately because he cares for you through suffering. Know that as you suffer, there is one who is nearer to you than fear, nearer to you than anxiety, nearer to you than pain. For he who promised is faithful. That word, faithful. Be wrapped up so in the word of God that when you face trials of any kinds, you recognize the sustaining love of the God of mercy. Be so immersed in the word that you cling to that grace, knowing, having a full knowledge of the love of God. The word shows us that the trucks aren't going to run us over. In his name, we see home. In his word, we know the way. In his glory, we see purpose. In his promise, we see the unfading crown of glory, as 1 Peter 5 says. It is not snuffed out by waves, as Isaiah 43 says. It is not turned to cinder through the flames. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will have no fear, for God is drawing us up the mountain of his glory, and he is calling us into his grace. You are saved and redeemed by the blood of Christ. Amen. Praise be to God that we have his word, that his word was made flesh and dwelt among us and brought us into security and assurance of his love, despite all things that the world could come at us. Despite all sins that we act in ourselves, God is faithful. And his glory never fades. We trust in God's faithfulness, even in turmoil. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you love us. And you call us by name into your act of redemption. Lord, may we trust in your word to the point that we are saturated in your word. Trust in it so that we read it and apply it to our lives and tell others of it. In your holy name, Jesus Christ, amen. If there is something on your heart today, come forward and be prayed for. What a wonderful thought that there are people in this room who will pray for you no matter what is going on in your life. Because we are coming out of trials and into glory, amen. Our hymn today is
46.
Will you stand and join me as we praise the Almighty God.